Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. James on this September long weekend Sunday. A couple of announcements before we begin. The first is that next week we're going back to our two services, one at 8:30 and the other at 10:30. So looking forward to seeing what a BCP service is like in St. James. And I think it's going to be a wonderful time to get into the swing of the fall. One last word. Our music director, Stephen, is back from his holidays next weekend. So that means that it is our last time with Ralph, who is taking us through the summer. Thank you so much for your musical talents and abilities. There are some sign-up sheets in the hall, I believe, for the September Doors Open, which is a unique opportunity for St. James to be shown off to the public. So if you have not signed up yet, I know Julie Ryan was looking for people to help out. I don't know if she still is, but more help is always better than less help. So feel free to look into that one. Let us begin our service. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us in all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Forever.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So today's readings are the exact opposite of last week's readings. If you weren't here last week, Peter was asked by Jesus, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you for seeing these things that have been revealed to you. You are Peter, the rock upon which I will build my church." This week, we have Peter, "Get behind me, you're Satan." Pretty much the exact opposite. Now, what's really interesting is that these two readings are right next to each other. This is the continuation of last week's reading. So Peter goes from, "You are the rock on which I will build my church," to, "Get behind me, Satan," in the matter of a couple of sentences. I hope that's been nobody's experience of their spiritual life, but it gives me some hope that in the scriptures themselves, we can see that even Peter doesn't always get it. You see, what Peter thought he meant when he said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, was something very different from what Jesus meant by it. Peter had the assumption that if I'm walking around with God incarnate on earth, isn't that going to be pretty cool for me? He's just told me he's going to build his church on me, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. That sounds pretty awesome. I must be pretty important. And I think many of us, in our own spiritual lives, turn to Christ as someone who's going to do something for us. You know, if we pray, maybe we'll figure out why my house in Regina hasn't sold yet. Maybe we'll figure out why the insurance on the churches are increasing so much. Maybe Jesus will do something about this and it will be good for me. Jesus doesn't do that, though. Jesus does the exact opposite. And he turns it around and says, "No, to be the Son of God means I am going to be persecuted, ridiculed, mocked, condemned to death, and killed." I can see why Peter would say, "No, you're playing the wrong message, Jesus. That's not how it's supposed to go." But Jesus does something else that is pretty difficult for us if we're honest. He looks at his disciples. He looks at you, and he looks at me, and he says, "If any want to be my follower, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Now, if I was God, and sometimes I like to think I am, I would not design religion to be this way. I would design religion to be, if you follow Jesus, if you follow God, good things will happen to you, you'll get lots of money, and then I can be up here asking for another fancy private jet. I'm not quoting any other religious preachers ever. Instead, Jesus says the opposite. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I don't blame society for looking at the church and thinking it's awfully weird. I don't blame society for looking at Christians and saying, why would you follow a God who died and tells you that your life is not going to be as comfortable or as easy and that you're going to be persecuted for following him? I don't blame them. But there's a truth deep inside each and every one of us that leads us to know that God is true and real, and that the calling that he has placed upon your life, upon my life, upon the life of our community, is something grander than we could imagine. If the God who can take a cross, an instrument of torture and suffering, and transform it into something beautiful that we wear around our necks, that we decorate our buildings with, what more can God do with us if we truly worship? If we truly take up our cross and follow Christ. Now, it's not just about coming to church on a Sunday morning. Although I'm sure on the long weekend, it was a sacrifice to make it here this morning. And I thank you all for that. But there's more to it. In our first reading today, we had a number of readings about what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I think the readings that we had this morning were a better example of worship than all the absolutely lovely and incredible music that we have, which is fantastic. But I think the angels in heaven rejoice more over one person who overcomes evil with good than all the beautiful hymnody we could imagine. I think the angels in heaven rejoice when someone leaves vengeance alone and leaves it for God. I think the angels in heaven rejoice when, as much as possible, we live peaceably with one another. This isn't always easy, but true religion is with us not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. Christ and God inspires us to live a life that is hard, to be peaceable, to speak kindly, to be honest. These are things that at times you have to stop and think. Am I going to react? Am I going to show a specific finger to the person that cut me off in the traffic line? Or am I going to choose to forgive? Am I going to try to be a better person? The thing that I love is that God hasn't left us in this struggle to our own devices. Hasn't left us alone to say, okay, well, maybe I did this well this day or not that day. He's given us a tremendous gift. A gift that doesn't always feel like a gift at times. But he's given us each other. Being part of the church, being part of this wonderful community, has responsibilities, has requirements. And one of the hardest is to support each other. Is to see each other for who we truly are and love them deeply. That's the task that we as a church are committed to. That is the task that Christ has given to each and every one of us. And he's given us each other to practice on and to succeed with and to rejoice together. My brothers and sisters, being a Christian isn't easy, and I am so thankful that we have God and we have each other to support us in this journey. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we confirm our faith. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God.
Jesus Christ is the only Son of the world. He was conceived by the Father.
I would invite the congregation to assume a position of prayer.
As followers of Jesus Christ, let us pray to our loving Father in heaven. Father, help us all in your church to understand what it really means to love and serve you. At the times of testing, strengthen us. At unexpected or undeserved suffering, support us. At the end of our energy, revive us and teach us through it all the inexplicable peace and joy that comes from doing your will. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, have mercy on us for the misdirected use of time, money, and resources in this world. In the struggle against evil and sin, empower us so that justice and righteousness are established, upheld, and celebrated as hearts rejoice in the freedom of all that is good. We look to the cross. Love for us. Father, renew our commitment to your loving in all our relationships, our work, and our prayer. In the hard choices, give us wisdom. In the painful decisions, affirm us. And may our words speak your truth, whether that is to encourage, to comfort, or to challenge. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, bring healing and wholeness to those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. In the sleepless nights and endless days of pain, give the grace to persevere with patience and turn these dark times into places of spiritual growth. Today, we remember especially Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, and Liz Bailey. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, may those who have died rest in the eternal peace of your presence, their burdens laid down, and their suffering ended. We pray for Janet Duplan, mother of Gord Duplan, and we ask that God give comfort to their families. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, the full extent of your love for us is so much greater than we can ever imagine. And in our love and thankfulness, we offer the praise of our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, all our word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repentant. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing to his disciples after his death and resurrection, said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. Merciful God, receive all that we offer you this day. Give us grace to love one another, that your love may be made perfect in us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And as our Savior taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we walk.
Please stand. Glory to God, whose power working in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.